Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth. Truth.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those windin' old boys raised on shotguns. Came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly.
Welcome, folks.
My grandpa.
Welcome. Happy Easter to the Trump phenomenon here on Easter, April 1st, 2018. Hope you're having a good Easter so far. Paul?
Oh, yeah. James, and happy Easter to you and your family and to all our listeners.
Thank you very much. My Easter so far, I just got back from at great grandma's, the Easter egg hunt, and my six-year-old, we let him find 90% of the eggs. And to be 6 years old, you know, it's all... The Easter Bunny is kind of real for him. We have bunnies in our yard and so on. So the whole thing's pretty mysterious for him. And the but he's been talking about the Easter egg hunt for 2 days now. Ah, boy. Well. I'll resume our Easter supper after our show today. The ham is wonderful. The apple pie, oh my goodness. So I'll be heading back to great grandma's. And I hope we'll have a good show for you today. We start out with good news. Let's go to this story. This story just came out, and let's share it with you here for a good Easter tidings. Trump declares no more DACA deal.
Good.
Border crossers want in on amnesty. And the accompanying photograph is a picture of this endless army of Central American would-be invaders of our country, who are just an endless chain of people, an army of people heading north. And I think they've just about reached Tijuana, Mexico. And we covered this story in the previous show. The state governments of Mexico are aiding and abetting this supportive people, providing them food and water and places to stop. And the Mexican government itself, the federales, are also helping this group. And this is a new development here in the wonderful relationship between Mexico and the United States. Because heretofore, the Mexican government, which has a very, very strict policy about not letting anybody invade Mexico, when Central Americans appeared from Guatemala and Honduras on the Mexican border, they were given a very rough welcome and hustled back across the border. Well, this is a change. This is different. Now they've shown up in a veritable army of thousands upon thousands, and the Mexican government is just giving them the green light to head up to help invade Norte Americanos. And they're so here they come. But now let's go to the story here. On Easter Sunday, President Trump announced he would no longer be pursuing a deal with the Republican establishment and Democrats to give amnesty to at least 1.8 million illegal aliens in exchange for a few pro-American immigration reforms. In a series of tweets, Trump signaled a return to his America First immigration agenda, mentioning that he will mentioning that he will no longer try to negotiate a deal between the GOP establishment and Democrats on the issue of giving amnesty to potentially millions of illegal aliens shielded from deportation by the President Obama-created Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. That's DACA. The no more DACA deal, Trump wrote on Twitter, while also saying that Republicans must go to the nuclear option to pass tough legislation that ends the catch-and-release program, which releases border crossers into the U.S. while they await trial. And here's our president's tweet. He tweets, Border Patrol agents are not allowed to properly do their job at the border because of ridiculous liberal Democrat laws like catch-and-release. Getting more dangerous. Caravans coming. Republicans must go to nuclear option to pass tough laws now, in all caps. No more DACA deal, in all caps, with an exclamation mark. I like all of that, including the punctuation. The article at Breitbart continues, the catch and release program was recently expanded with Trump's signing of the omnibus spending bill, with more illegal aliens set to be released this year into the interior of the country than the year before. The caravans, Trump mentions in the Twitter post, refer to the approximately 1,500 Central Americans who are traveling through Mexico and will soon reach the U.S. border, where they will likely request refugee status in the country, as Breitbart Texas reported. In another tweet, Trump threatened to take the U.S. out of the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, where between 2000 and 2014, there have been about 5 million American manufacturing jobs lost. If Mexico did not crack down on stopping migrants traveling through the country to take advantage of generous asylum and refugee laws in the U.S. Trump reiterated in another tweet, need wall, after the Republican and Democrat passed spending bill he signed barred him from building his border wall. And then here is the relevant tweet. Mexico is doing very little, if not all caps, nothing, at stopping people from flowing into Mexico through their southern border and then into the U.S. They laugh at our dumb immigration laws. They must stop the big drug and people flows, or I will stop their cash cow, NAFTA. Need wall. And that's another Easter tweet. So our president's on the job here. Come rain or shine, holiday or not. A third tweet by the president noted how border crossers want in on a DACA amnesty that they believe will occur as the Trump administration has tried to broker an amnesty deal for months now between Republicans and Democrats. For months, Breitbart News has reported how talk of a DACA amnesty in Washington has coincided with an increasing number of border crossings at the southern border, with illegal immigration in recent months ticking back up to Obama-era levels. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen has even admitted that human smugglers and future illegal aliens follow the immigration debate in Washington, D.C. to understand when their best chance is to cross into the country illegally. And then here's the President's Trump, this third tweet, these big flows of people are all trying to take advantage of DACA. They want in on the act. Now, I love that tweet, folks, and I'll tell you what I like about all three of these tweets, Paul. I'm not trying to be try to act superior to our president. I take my hat off to him. He's quite a powerful intellect, among all the other great things that he is. But these tweets show he's really snapping into focus on the reality of the immigration problem. He's really, and I was hoping for this. And I'll tell you, Paul, sometimes you get, there's a silver lining to the gray cloud. And in this recent denial of the wall to Donald Trump by the Rhino Republicans and the Democrats, there may be a silver lining, Paul. And the more I'm thinking about it, the more I'm feeling this way. If the Democrats and the Rhinos had said, okay, here are a couple of billion dollars to start a wall, I'm afraid, Paul, and I'm not trying to act superior to this great man, the president, I think they could have snookered him into signing some amnesty-type deals, some DACA-type legislation that would have been truly catastrophic, involving many millions of successful invaders into the U.S. over the coming years. And here's what I'm trying to say, Paul. We haven't had a wall for a long, long time, for many decades. Whether we get the wall up immediately or if it takes a year or 2 years to get it going is not a make or break issue. The kind of legislation that cagey Democrats and rhinos could have tricked Trump into as an exchange for some minor wall money, those are truly catastrophic things. So, for instance, in the DACA realm there, it was mentioned 1.8 million DACA people. Well, every expert on immigration, like Roy Beck, has said this number is just a starter number, folks. Forget about it. There's no limiting this number to the kind of numbers you see in legislation. We're looking at numbers as high as 30 million people that would be enabled by an open-ended DACA deal, for example. And Donald Trump, as brilliant as he is, it takes years. You know, Paul, you and I know this. It takes years of studying and reading and watching the scene to get pretty good at understanding the immigration crisis. And Donald Trump's been a busy man. I don't think he's put as much study into it as some folks like you may have, Paul. So I think this delay, this time frame here, where, for example, the fact, Paul, that before he signed any major immigration legislation, he got to see this marching army right before his eyes. I think this is a good education for our president before he signs legislation. In these three tweets, he's showing that he understands the game maybe better than he ever has. And he understands how you have to be very, very tough on this, because the people on the other side of the border, they're going to use every little chink in any legislation to get through. So I don't know. Was I articulate enough on that, Paul? That I'm not seeing the lack of a wall being started this month as the end of the world. I'm thinking that the president being denied the wall, he's aware, hey, we have no defense. We've got, this is, the border's wide open. I can't sign any kind of amnesty. They'll simply flood across. Armies of these people. He's actually seeing it. I think this was a very dumb move by whoever's organizing these illegals, these invaders. I think it was really stupid for them to form an army and march on the border. What do you think, Paul? Oh, okay. Paul is Paul is checking out his window to see if the army has reached his neighborhood yet. But we've seen it all across Europe. And folks, oh, by the way, you out there in the audience here this fine Easter, you are more than welcome to join us in the discussion if you push yourself away from the Easter supper table there. 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. So, we've got a caller. Let's see here. Ryan in Cleveland. Hi, Ryan.
What's
Happy
up,
Easter.
Mister? Long time no talk.
Well, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I listen to you sometimes. You know what? It was a thing, you know. I got like three things I want to say, but I just thought to bring that up. I stopped listening to you for a while. The reason was you were just so pro-Trump. It just disgusted me, you know. You wouldn't say nothing, you wouldn't say nothing bad about him. And then in the opposite corner, I don't know if you know Jeff Rentz from Rentz.com. He was the complete opposite. It was just he totally attacks him. So I couldn't even go to his site for a few months. But I've kind of calmed down a little bit because I see Trump doing some good stuff, even though they're fighting him.
Well, yeah. Ryan, hey, now you bring up a good topic, which is, and you brought up two good extremes, Kelso and Rentz. Kelso, yeah. The cheerleader. Kelso, the cheerleader. And Rentz, the let's give him a neutral word, the skeptic.
I mean, he was all for Rentz, you know, to a way, but then it was a total attack, complete opposite of you. So I couldn't listen to neither one of you for a few months, you know, which is kind of bummed me out, I'd say, you know, because I love both you guys, you know.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Here's what I would like to throw in on that discussion, because I've thought about it. I think about it actually every day, is being a cheerleader for Trump. And I think about it this way. When Trump does something that's a mistake, I'm not here on our Easter theme, I'm not a dumb bunny. If Donald Trump signs what Congressman Jim Jordan of your great state of Ohio, he's not too far from you there in Cleveland. Jim Jordan's up in the northwest corner there of Ohio.
That'll be Toledo area.
Yeah, he's up there. He might be the best congressman we have. He might be the best potential candidate for president after Trump that we have. I am so impressed with Jim Jordan. We'll talk about him maybe in the show. But Jim Jordan described the legislation that President Trump signed, what, two Fridays ago, as the worst piece of legislation he's ever seen.
Yes, you're right. He did say that.
Yeah. I mean, he was disgusted. And he's been in Congress, I think, 12 years, reelected six times. He just a tremendous patriot. What a champion for our people.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
But Jim Jordan he manages, in spite of saying that, this is the worst piece of legislation I've ever seen. Donald Trump signed it. Jim Jordan remains a cheerleader for Donald Trump.
But, you know, I think that legislation that he signed, as I'm reading up on it, it's not like the money, except for some of it, doesn't have to be earmarked for anything. And Mr. Trump can use that money to build a wall for the security of our country.
Ryan, stay there.
All right.
It's a good question you're raising. We'll talk about it right after this break.
past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I was a little boy, Mama said to me, any man can be a fool. A man is hard to be, any man can be a fool. A man is hard to be.
We've got Ryan with us from Cleveland, Ohio. And Ryan, I'm talking Hello. About the cheerleaders versus the skeptics on Donald Trump. And I'm glad you love us both. And we all ought to hug each other in this big family that we've got. We do need Listen, we do need the skeptics, and
we
do need
you in your place.
Yeah, and I hope, folks, we also need the cheerleaders. And
absolutely,
it provides a balance. Trump is going to make mistakes. He has made a couple of mistakes already, and that bill that he signed on that couple Fridays ago, the $1.4 trillion omnibus spending bill, $1.3 trillion. What's $100 billion among friends? Is one of those mistakes, and so we need people like Ann Coulter, for instance. Ann Coulter is pretty quick to fire. She can do both jobs really well. She's an excellent cheerleader and she's an excellent skeptic. She wrote the book. I mean, talk about something that just overflows with cheerleading. I've got her book in my hand here called In Trump We Trust. Now, that's a pretty grandiose title there. In Trump We Trust.
Ain't that
kind
cool?
Of like a sort of a playoff, In God We Trust, In yeah. Trump We Trust, and then the subtitle is a playoff of E Pluribus Unum, you know, from many, one. We have E Pluribus Awesome. So that's cheerleading at its
topic.
Yeah, at the she's at the top there of cheerleading. That's my style. But the same Ann Coulter, if you look at her most recent column,
I like her.
Her most recent column, she takes a nail studded baseball bat to Donald Trump, and so she does both jobs very well. And we need
the
both.
Yeah, the thing with that, whatever he signed, I forget the bill, but it was called whatever. That money there, he actually doesn't have to put it towards certain things that people think it goes to, which means he could take a lot of that money, billions of it, and actually build a wall with it.
Well, you know, Ryan, I've heard that argument, and
it sounds right to me.
Yeah, no, I hope it pans out, but it looks to me as if it won't. And it looks as if to me that Donald Trump, in fact, Ann Coulter herself made fun of this. She wrote a column called Donald Trump's 3D Chess, and she meant 4D chess. She said in that, look, hey Mr. President, I don't get this 4D chess here. If you sign a really, really bad bill, how is that anything other than a really, really bad bill?
Because I look at it like this. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Huh? Well, and she's right. People are thinking, well, Donald Trump, you know, I think he's a genius, but I don't think he's that much of a genius that he can, you know, pull a rabbit out of a hat. We'll stay on the Easter theme, pull a rabbit out of a hat.
Because you know what it is? I look at it as like building a wall is national defense. And if he could play that one out, I think he can take a lot of that spending bill for the Army, Navy, whatever you want to call it, is national defense by building a wall to keep out the enemy.
Well,
and
yes.
If I can't do that, I don't understand it.
Yes. He floated that idea in his tweets last week, and he said, you know, use the military to build a wall. It is national defense. It is a national security issue. Yes. As the commander-in-chief, as the president of the United States, as the guardian of our borders, that's not the Congress that does that. It's not the Supreme Court, thank goodness, that guards our borders. It is the executive.
It's our military.
Yes, which is commanded by our president. So,
yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, I just can't see why he can't do it.
Well, well, there are a couple names to why he can't do it. One is Pelosi. One is Schumer.
I look at this. They're trying to stop it. I look at that as somebody who's actually against our government and should be arrested under the Patriot Act. So I don't understand why he can't do that.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Ryan. But one thing I want to do for anybody else out there like you, who's like Ryan, and if my cheerleading gets a little bit too thick for you, I'm not so far gone that I am blind to Trump's mistakes, and I'll call this one right here. His biggest mistake of his presidency, that omnibus bill, it's a turkey. Is there anything good in it? No. Does it advance the Trump agenda or the campaign platform that he promised us? No, it doesn't.
I think he has an agenda going. I really see. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because I see him. If some things fall correctly, he will use that money to build a wall. He will use that money to start arresting these criminals.
I'm
hoping. I pray.
Yeah, well, you know what? Ryan, I'm taking my drum major hat off right now, and I'm putting it on your head. because you're the cheerleader right now. No, I'm going to say in just a moment. Yeah, in a moment here, I'm going to say that Trump made a big, big mistake. But I'm also going to say it's not fatal. It's not the end of the world, and he's learned from it. And his recent tweets, I think, show that. Let me play a little audio for you here right now, folks. Just this is a treat for me. How many of you have ever seen the Ohio State marching band?
The Buckeyes.
Yeah, yeah. march into us. Have you ever seen the Ohio, the OHIO formation?
Once in a while.
Yeah.
A couple of times,
it's so, folks, this is the greatest marching band in the world. Let me play a little audio for you. I'm looking at a picture here. They line up in the tunnel. It's a huge band, like 250.
Like 200 of them.
Yeah, like about 250. Huge band. They're lined up in the tunnel in the huge 100,000 arena stadium, and here they come.
110.
Here they are. Here they come. Every time you see it, folks, it brings tears to your eyes. These are the sharpest looking Americans you're going to see. And this is a military formation. So the drum line just marched out. They start with a drum line. Sharp as attack. Now here's the rest of them lined up. They're going to come out behind the drum line to the beat of the drum line once you're out in the end zone. This place just went from there here. And then I'll skip into it. But may this never end, Ryan. May this aspect of America. Here they go. O-H-I-O.
Yeah, I love it.
Snapping it off. Those white gloves coming up to the beat. Everybody's on their feet. Those red plumes. Red feathered plumes.
Cut.
More tubas than you'll ever see in a marching band. There go the tubas. There go the horns. There go the trombones. Here come the trombones.
Hey, bro.
It's endless. Cut. And once they're going to march out, folks, it's just they're going to spell out O-H-I-O in the most beautiful marching band formation in the world. And now the drum major, this is you, Ryan. The drum majors are going to come high-stepping out of the tunnel right now. Here he is. Ryan, cheerleader for Donald Trump.
Is that me?
Willing to cut slack. Here he comes. Red and white. High kick him.
There you go. Unbelievable.
Crowd's going wild.
I have two more points I want to make.
And then. And here they go. Everybody's wearing red. Ohio.
Red and gray. Red and gray.
Everybody's singing the Ohio song.
Red and gray. Hello. Kelso. Cut. Kelso, cut.
Yeah.
Are you there now?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ryan.
I like that. Hey, Kelso, I got two more points I want to make.
Yeah.
All right. I was born in 1963. So I remember when Ronald Reagan passed that illegal amnesty bill in 1985 and signed it in 86.
Yes.
And I was like 23 years old at the time, or 21. And I told my dad, I go, Dad, if he's going to let these illegal aliens in and give them a pass, I don't see why that's not going to happen again. If he signs that, I think we're going to have more problems. And my dad said yes. And sure enough, they estimated 1.5 million illegal aliens in 85 when Ronald Reagan passed it. It turned out to be almost 4 million people signed up for that amnesty program. And since 85 or 86, I'm telling you, we got 40 million illegal aliens in this country. And that's because of Ronald Reagan signing that bill allowing people who broke the law to come into this country and let them be legal. It's kind of like I punched you in the face and you gave me a pass by giving me a check. It makes no sense to me that Ronald Reagan did
and
that.
Ryan,
I was so disgusted.
Folks, yeah, Ryan, Paul and I were there too when that happened, and we'll all remember that that was going to be the last amnesty.
That's a lie. I told my dad, I go, if they're going to do it once, they're going to do it again. Like, the world, the war to end all wars was World War One. Well, we had World War Two, and now it looks like World War Three. So when they say that, it's all lies. It's like, yes. I don't believe a word. And I was 21 years old at the time, and I knew that was a bunch of bull.
Well, and let's just talk about a few of the flaws in this. Paul can chime in. Paul's an expert on immigration because one of the things he specializes in Canada. Canada has exactly the same problem America has, is that it is the victim of an immigration invasion. One of the lies of all of these bills, these amnesties, everything else, is that they have departed. Fundamentally, they are a departure from the immigration policy of the United States for its first several hundred years, which was, if you're going to get into the U.S., we'll use the example of Ellis Island, you're going to come as an individual, you are going to come before an examiner who's going to look at you, look at your papers, and study you, and make a call on you, not on a class of people. Our immigration was never before, it wasn't about, well, we're going to let in, let's see, dreamers. No, we're going to let
That's
in.
So retarded. You see how many of these dreamers end up being
But here, let me point out the fallacy. The fallacy is this. If you shift your immigration policy to one where you allow in classes of people or vague generalities of people, you say, we're going to let in this group of people, which is an undefined, non-precise number of people. Instead of our former policy was this. We're looking at this guy, you know, John Doe, and he's standing before the examiner. The examiner will stamp his papers and admit him to the U.S., and that's just step one. Later on, a judge and another examiner are going to look at him again for character, for his knowledge, for his economy, and for his health. They're going to put more stamps on it to let him in, step one, and then and maybe 7 years later, grant him U.S. citizenship, one at a time. No classes of people. And if he doesn't get that stamp at Ellis Island, he goes right back on the boat he came on, and he goes right back where he came from. And that's the way we ran our country for centuries, and it worked.
And it worked good. I know they passed the immigration policy in 1923 or 1926, which said 90% of all people coming to America would come from Europe. In 1965... they passed a law that says 90% of all people came from outside of Europe. And then you got guys like Kennedy, not Kennedy that got assassinated, but his brother says, oh, this won't change the demographics. And I go, even me, I'm looking at this, I'm like, that's a bunch of bull.
Yeah.
You know?
But see, Ryan, they made the switch from European immigration to non-European immigration. But what I'm saying is, and this recent army, this army that's now marching through Mexico, makes the point. And this is where I'm hoping Donald Trump is getting an education right now. It's a hard education.
I hope he does something. He's got to put our military on the border.
Yeah.
You know, people will argue, we can't have our military in America. That's against the law. That's posse comitatus. I go, no, it's not posse comitatus. The military is supposed to protect our border. So they should be on the border. But people listen to the media.
Yeah, Ryan, the place where our army actually belongs is inside the United States.
That's right. On the border.
Yes, exactly. Our army does not belong in Germany or in Korea.
South Korea, North Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, we got 30,000 guys in South Korea, North Korea border protecting their border. How come they're not on our border protecting our border?
And even more importantly, not in Iraq or Afghanistan. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, very good question. I was reading a fierce critic of our lesbian Ontario Premier's most recent spendthrift budget, but he made a good point. He said this budget and it is pretty much like the alcoholic who promises he will absolutely for sure join AA next year, but right now he needs a drink to calm his nerves. Well, that is exactly what. that's exactly what we've been getting with immigration amnesty. Yes, absolutely, from now on, no more illegals. They just won't get in. But for the ones that are already here, it's just not practical to deport them. Well, you know, that's happened again and again and again. And you pointed out this was, I would say, the biggest failure of Ronald Reagan's presidency, that he passed that amnesty, because all it did was legalize several million people, and then it sent the message throughout the world, but particularly Central America.
We did it once, we'll do it again.
Yeah, that, you know, yeah, it may be tough for the first few years, but in the end, they'll give in, and they'll absolutely, for sure, they'll go to AA the year after next.
Yeah.
not this year.
Well, and now, Ryan, let me close the circle here with what the fallacy is in our entire approach to immigration, which is talking about classes of people. The lie is this. You mentioned the Reagan amnesty in 86. Do you realize there are people still today in court, winning in court under the Reagan amnesty and being allowed? Yes, it's happening now. Because here is the point. If at any point you say, if you declare any kind of amnesty based on, not on a person, an individual person, but on a class of people, all that any future person has to do is hire an attorney, go into court and say, I'm a member of that class of people, or I would have been, or I could have been, or my father should have been.
The 6 million, you know,
let's not go there. It doesn't remind me of that
I'm
at all.
Saying that's what that reminds me.
Let's not claim to be part of it. I know, but what the point is this? I don't want to lose the train of the logic here, which is that if you go into this vague world of somebody, all you have to do is go into court and say, look, if my dad had signed up for the Reagan amnesty and he missed it, he was illiterate. He missed it. He was illiterate. He was working 60 hours a week. All this is false, of course. He would have signed up, which would have made me legal. And my children and my wife. Exactly. And a judge, here's the point. A liberal judge will rule in your favor. Yeah, he will rule in your favor. Now, the point is this. You can't have any kind of amnesty, period. And this is what Roy Beck understands.
Zero.
And Donald Trump, hang on. You're a great cheerleader, Ryan. Donald Trump needs to learn from guys like Roy Beck, which is you can't have – what's the right amnesty? It's not a question of what's the right amnesty.
No amnesty.
And we have to go back to the policy we had, which is if you're going to get into the United States, you're going to get in as John Doe. Under your name, not as part of a class of people, your argument for getting into the country is going to be based on your merits, and it's going to be ruled upon individually. And when they refuse you, that's it. And then you have to come back in, and if you want to, you can try again and see if you can pass muster.
I've been looking at this immigration stuff, and actually, Australia is very strict on letting people in.
Another thing about American immigration policy, for hundreds of years, we had quotas. And that meant that, yes, you had to get in as an individual, but you got in as part of a quota. So if the quota from, let's say, Sweden for 1935, if the quota in 1935 for Sweden was 500 people, that's it.
If you're number 501...
Exactly.
Because, you know, 1926, when they passed the bill, it was 165,000, if I'm not wrong, would come in every year.
Yes, that was the 1924
quota act. 1965, after they killed Kennedy because he says he's not going to pass it, and he was a good Democrat. He actually was a good president. They whacked him, and then Johnson gets in. He passes the bill to let 1 million people come in every year, and 90% outside of Europe. And I'm thinking, like, here I am, a little kid. I'm like, yeah, I'm smelling all this Indian smell or whatever when we go to these places in Florida. because I let all these Indians in. They all got hotels, you know. And I'm like 6-7 years old, and I'm smelling. I go, Daddy, what stinks? And that was because whacked Kennedy, and Johnson passed the bill to let all these other people in, you know.
Well, welcome to Bombay, or as they say
now,
Mumbai.
I mean, I'm at the perfect age to remember all this, you know.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's so sad. It's so sad.
Yes. Well, now the key here is let's bring it all forward here to the present moment. The good news today, folks, that we started out with.
Curry.
Let me go to my cheerleading here. Hang on just a second, Ryan. I want to get the theme song here for us cheerleaders for Trump. Here it is.
The Buckeyes?
But cheerleaders for Trump, yes. We could call ourselves Buckeyes.
Yes, sir, Bob.
I can get my...
The Big Ten.
Get my computer. I'll get the band back in a moment. But the Donald Trump, I'm saying, folks, I'm looking for silver lining in the cloud here. Donald Trump didn't get anything on the wall so far, 14 months in. He's gotten nothing on the wall. Well, that's not good. But if it causes Donald Trump not to if it wakes him up to the stark reality of how anti-American these rhinos and Democrats are, and it causes him not to get suckered into any kind of a Reagan-style blanket amnesty that will, and Roy Beck's got it on this. You might naively think, oh, I'm just signing a bill that affects only 800,000 people.
Yeah,
no,
whatever.
No, it's an undefined, there's no set roster of people. It's not an actual number. It's a class of people. And all that millions upon millions need later do to be included in that class is get a good attorney, pay him a couple thousand dollars, and you're in the club. You shop for a judge who is friendly to, who wants the country to be invaded. So when you come into his court, he doesn't care what your argument is. He's a liberal judge who wants as many invaders as possible in the country. He can't stamp your case approved fast enough. And you can't put this in the hands of judges like that. It has to simply be, there's no amnesty law under which
zero
future tens of millions of people can file a lawsuit to be included. And Donald Trump, I think, with this army of people marching through Mexico today and no wall being slapped down and spat upon by the rhinos and the Democrats with that deal that he signed, his education, the education of Donald, be a good, a cousin of mine is Henry Adams. There's a great book, The Education of Henry Adams. This would make a good book, The Education of Donald Trump. He's getting it right now. And I think, Paul, that in his 7 future years as president, as the education of Donald Trump proceeds, I think he will become a better and better president.
I hope he does. My concern is they're going to let 10 million illegal aliens vote come 2020, and he's going to get booted out. Because they're going to keep that. I don't know what to do. It's just...
Yeah.
Unless he does something. He's got to do something. Something federal has to happen to stop this.
Yeah. Well, and then just to kind of finish the thought here, what I'm glad about, I'm glad that Donald Trump in his first 14 months has actually been thwarted by the Democrats and the rhinos from actually making a deal which would tie his hands, would bind him in his future years. If he signed a kind of amnesty, he would have to bite his lip over the years as he watches this amnesty explode in front of his eyes. So I'm glad they haven't struck a deal. I'm glad too. Yeah. And I'm hoping enough. He's going to see these MS-13 murderers. One of the headlines last week was that 100 MS-13 murderers, killers, they're all killers, 100 of them who were childhood aged were released. They were actually sprinkled around after they'd been detained. They were spread out all over the United States, dispersed to different locations and released simply because they were under 18.
Released.
Yeah. Now, Donald Trump saw that happen under his on his watch. He watched that happen. He's watching this army marching into the country. He's got the mothers of American kids who were murdered by illegals. He's hearing from them. His education is proceeding, and he's becoming, I think, more and more the less and less naive. And that's reflected in his tweets today. Ryan, listen, thank you for calling, and thank you
One more thing. Can I do one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Off topic. All right. You ever hear of the Van Allen belt?
Well, wait a minute. I'll tell you what. Ryan, right. Let's save that. Ryan, let's save the Van Allen belts because we've got a break. Look forward to you in a future show, Ryan. Thank you, brother. We'll be right back, folks.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Paul's here in a bit, 800-313-9443. And I'm just having some fun here on Easter. Let me go back with your forbearance, folks. I've just got this Ohio State marching band up on my screen here, and it's the best marching band in the world. And it epitomizes America. It epitomizes who we are. The cheers, the songs, the marching. It's right out. It's Americana, folks. Now, I'm going to play it a little bit, and I'm not going to encourage you to, after you hear this, to go to an NFL football game. I'm going to ask you not to go to an NFL football game.
Right.
Because the America from with this music you're going to hear in just a moment, the Ohio State marching song, a lot of that's gone, and we have to rebuild it in new ways. And that does not include showing up at NFL games, because NFL games don't reflect America anymore. It's about as anti-American as you can get. So I'll say, hey, go to a National Hockey League game. There's some real Americans there at that National Hockey League game. Or go to a college football game. But listen to this. Here they are. If you've witnessed this magnificent bit of Americana, they come out into the field, I think about 250 strong. They spell out Ohio script. They in script, O-H-I-O, and they end it at the end. A single tuba player, in this case, it's a beautiful woman with beautiful blonde hair in a bun above her head so she doesn't get it tangled up in her tuba. She's beautiful. But she brings her tuba out, marches out by herself, and puts the dot on the I in Ohio. And so here she is. She's doing that right now. She bows with her tuba. And then listen to this chorus and the orchestra. They are an orchestra, really. But this band, it's overwhelmingly beautiful white kids who come from all over the country to be part of the Ohio State Marching Band. You know, the best band members from high schools all over America. It's such a bit of Americana. But here they are, and then they break out into their song. It just brings tears to your eyes. Here they go, out there on that green grass. There's the tuba. That's what America used to be about. Victory. That's what we were about. And we expected nothing less. And we need to return to that. So you heard a little bit of it there. Parts of our civilization, of our culture, they it's still here. We're still strong. We can still pull this out of the fire. And that's what the Trump phenomenon is. Donald Trump proved that. A lot of people in our movement, we talked about cheerleaders versus skeptics. A lot of skeptics in our movement thought, you know, hey, put a fork in it. And that was a phrase frequently used. It's over. There's not going to be any political recovery of America or Canada or anywhere else in the white world. We're too far gone. We're over the edge. And the most skeptical of all, the most, I don't want to use negative terms because these are good people. They're my friends. But the most skeptical of all, they were at the point of, we're going to be in the bushes in camo, and we're, just us and the dogs out in the woods. But Trump has proved we're not there, and that we, in fact, can win. We can have a victory. And Trump reminded of this over and over again. He said, I'm about winning. We're about winning. We can make America great again. So, and for those of you who ever get disgusted with Kelso the cheerleader, realize I see just as clearly as you. When mistakes are made, I know too. But I'll tell you why I stay in the formation, in that marching band. I stay right in my position. I'll tell you why after this break.
This is RBN.